Moody Pacific Grace Church and Awana Club number 889 want to send you greetings and also birthday greetings for your Awana Club for 25th birthday. My church also have Awana. We have been running Awana for about 20 years. And we started Awana because Pacific Grace Church, your church, started Awana. And that's why we started Awana ourselves, knowing that it's a good program. And Awana, 25 years is not a short time. So there must be a lot of workers, parents, and people like teaching you and growing you, all of you, and teaching all of you. And there will be people diligently serving and faithfully like teaching you guys. So it's really a blessing of God that you can have Awana for 25 years. And I pray that there will be more years to come and more kids will come to know Christ through this ministry. Today I want to share with the word from the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 9 and also 26 to 29. Maybe I would like to ask you to open your Bible and let's all read this first passage together first. Is that okay? So, book of Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 9 and then 26 to 29. You can hear me reading it out loud if you don't have a Bible with you. And it says this. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into the boat and set it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. The bird came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell on the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who had ears, let them hear.'" Verse 26, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces seed, which is the smallest seed you've... All by the day, the soul produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in his head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Last year, I got a chance to start my veggie garden. It's my first time that I decided to grow something in my backyard. And as a newbie, I would like to start with something really small and easy. So I picked two kinds of vegetables to grow, tomatoes and zucchini. And the tomato, it was grown from a small plant. But for zucchini, I grew it from a small little seed. I don't know much about growing plants and gardening, but all I know is to water it regularly. And very soon, the plant grew bigger and bigger, and then it has flower. And after that, it bears fruit, zucchini, tomatoes. I was very happy because for the very first time, I started to grow something successfully from a seed to a fruit. Well, the first crop, however, was very small. It was actually the size of my small little finger, just that small. Every zucchini is just this small. And I thought, should I just harvest it and eat them all? But then I remember the Bible principles. Dedicated your first harvest to the Lord, and the Lord will bless the remaining of your harvest. So what I did is I harvested it, I bring it to the church, the office, my staff share with my pastor and everyone I know in the church, and for the snack. And later in the weeks, my zucchini plants started to bloom and have flowers and to have fruits again. And now the size was getting bigger and bigger at each harvest. And I try my best to water it regularly, I trim off some of the outgrown leaves, to take care of my garden to the best that I can. Now, in the middle of July, I need to go on a mission trip for 2 weeks to the First Nations. And meanwhile, my husband also have to be away for a work trip for a week or so. So there will be 2 weeks that my home and my garden without anyone taking care of it. And as you know, the summer, the past summer, was pretty dry and hot. So one thing I really worried before I left on my mission trip is, I'm not sure whether my zucchini and tomato will survive. And what if, like, in 2 weeks, no rain and no one's water it? Will they just die? I feel so bad if it's all die, right? But I could do nothing about it. So the only thing I can do is I to water enough or more than I should to the plants, and then just lift everything up to the Lord. A week later, my husband came back to home first. I was still on a mission trip. And so he WhatsApped me some photos of my zucchini. And do you know how was my zucchini doing? Do you think it would die? Yeah? No? Well, it doesn't die. And to my surprise, it has grown to be this big. I mean, not just one of them, but every one of them. And at least has the size of my whole arm length. It was the biggest zucchini I've never seen. And not just one, many. And some would say, oh, it must be like overripe and too mature, so it's not good to eat. But no, because it's organic and it's fresh from the ground, it tastes really good. And I got a chance to share with my friends, to the church, to my families, and we have a great harvest last year. What surprised me is that I thought my zucchini is going to die. But in the end, it grew much bigger than I thought. And if you ask me, what happened? Like, how can you do that? I have no idea. Because it grew so big and large while I was away, while no one's going to take care of it. I don't know what happened. I don't even know, like, if there's raining, like, in those 2 weeks. And it's just like what says in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 27 to 29. It says, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though it does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in his head. And also in the parable of the sower, Mark 4, verse 3 to 8, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Some fell on the rocky places, some fell on the thorns, and others still fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And you know, there's a Chinese saying that it takes 10 years to grow a tree, and it takes 100 years to grow a man. And I would say nurturing the heart and the soul of a person is kind of like growing a harvest. And working with children, we are like farmers planting seeds. And each day at home as a parent, or at church as a worship leader, or at any Awana Club meeting, we plant the seeds of the Word of God into the heart of the little one. And we water it, and we prepare the soil to create the best environment so that this little soul will grow stronger and stronger each day. But also like sowing for harvest, sometimes we just have no control of the outcome of the seed, because some seed will fall on good soil, some seed will fall on rocky soil. If you have been at church long enough, and you will know that some children, they grew and they grow to be a strong Christians, and they continue to serve the Lord. And probably many of the journey leaders or Awana leaders, they used to be Awana kid, and now they are serving the Lord and teaching at Awana. But there will also be someone who exit the church when they face their teenage years or university years. And some who may be the naughtiest one when they're at Awana, the one that's jumping around, turn out that when they're an adult, they are very faithful and devoted servants of the Lord. But on the other hand, some that may be the teacher's favorite students, when they hit the university years, they may face struggles in their life and that lead them away from the Lord. Our churches had a youth camp this past Victoria long weekend. And the speaker shared his life and also his testimony with us. For him, he was a pastor kid. But due to some family circumstances, he was left alone all by himself when he was like 14 years old. He has a place to live, but he has to manage everything by himself. And guess what? As a 14 years old, I don't think the 14 years old is mature enough to take care of himself. So therefore, he partied all day and night and always invited his friends to come over because it's free, you know? No one is going to control him. And he spent most of the money on the early days of the month and end up having no money to use for and go hungry for the when it's like end of the month. And he used to be a great A-grade student. I mean, like, get all A's student in school when he was in grade 9. But then when he was in grade 10, he started to not studying, didn't do his homework, and so his marks fell a lot. And there are two times when he was in grade 10 and in grade 12, he got expelled from school. His parents, the friends of his parents, worried him so much because they're afraid that he may go suicide or be a gangster or go to jail. So they worry him very much, but they could do nothing about it. But during his lowest point of time, after several years when he was wandering away, he came back to his senses and he remembered the Sunday school teacher, what the Sunday school teacher taught when he was young. And he remembered that he can always come to God and Jesus when he needed to. And so he decided to come back to God and to find Jesus. And that decision changed his life. And now he is a youth pastor at a church. His friend's parents, whom once was so worried about him when he was young, were so amazed that he became a pastor now, and he can only give credit and glory to the Lord. And there's also a boy that I used to like minister when he was young. He went to Awana and he went to the church, and he was one of my favorite kids when he was young. Like, he had solid in faith, loved the Lord, and he got baptized when he was like 13 years old. And I even invited him to share his baptismal testimony with the Awana kids. When he was in his youth, he actively in like Christian clubs and worship team and stuff. But then when he went off to university, he has to move to live in a dorm. He then faced some struggles. I don't know why, and I don't know what it is. But then he went away from the Lord. He just struggled about his faith to a point. He even don't know whether we can still call him a Christian. All who knew him from the church worry about him. And his parents also attended church and are very dedicated Christians. So many, many of us have been praying for him and praying for him to come back to the God just like the lost son. I was very sadly surprised to hear what happened to him when he went astray from the Lord. And many times I gathered with his parents to pray for this young guy to come back to the Lord. Graciously, I thank God. Last year, one day, God heard the cry of the parents and those around him. God convicted this young man somehow in his heart that he wanted to come back to his faith and come back to Jesus Christ. So he started to come back to the church and get back to the God that he once used to know when he was young. And now, in the summer, he's even planning to go on a mission trip to China. In nurturing the soul of our next generation, we are like farmers, sowing faithfully the word of God and tendering the garden to our best and hoping to have a great harvest in the end. But we all know, sometimes the seed will fall on the rocky places, sometimes the seed will fall on the thorny places, and some will, like the good soil, produce 100 times in the end. This is a very famous children's story and Bible story. So when I teach children, I like to ask them this question. So there are kids there, okay? If you were the farmer in the story, and this is what happened in last year's harvest, that 3/3 of your harvest was not producing. It went to the rocky and bad soil. And only 1/4 of it fell on good soil. Now, you are the farmer, and spring is coming. You're going to seed again and grow again. How will you sow the seed? Will you sow it differently? Will you sow it just on the good soil where you get good crops? Or will you continue seeding everywhere? Will you sow differently this time? My first thought to this question is, I think I will seed and grow again. But maybe I will just seed only the good crop and the good soil. You know, like opportunity cost, and that's wise investment principle. But then after giving a deeper thought, I changed my mind. Maybe I will give it a try for the other areas. Perhaps they can grow more crops this year. But one thing, after giving some thought, I said I would do is, I will try to work on the soil a little bit. I will try to resoil the thorny soil or the rocky soil so that it will become good soil and hopefully, this time, more crops this year. Then I will have a much more bountiful harvest in the year to come. In the past 2 years, many of the Vancouver lawns, your backyard, are heavily attacked by crows and raccoons. I'm not sure about your health condition. For mine, I'm a victim of it for the past 2 years. So 2 years ago, 90% of my backyard, all the grass in the green area, are all ripped up by raccoon. So at first, I still tried to like patch it a little bit, you know, when it was being ripped up. But then after 2 days, it got all ripped up again. So in the end, I just let it be for the whole summer. And that's why my whole lawn was being ruined. And I don't even get a step into my backyard and my lawn. Good thing is I don't have to mow anymore because there's no grass, you know. But the bad thing is it's all ripped up. I could have just let it be for the next summer, you know, for the next time. But I know that if I didn't work on my backyard, my next year, there's no grass. It will be still like that. So what I want to do is I don't want to give up my backyard. So last year, I resoiled my backyard and seeding it again. And I remember there's like 3 months, every morning, I faithfully water my lawn early in the morning. Hopefully, it will turn the brown soil into some green area. And so summer came last year, and my lawn grew green and nice. So I was very happy. But throughout the middle of the summer, like when I think July or August hit, the raccoon and the crow came back again. I was a bit discouraged. Oh, how come you destroy my lawn again? But thankfully, this time, because I think we tried various ways, tried to get rid of them, they only attacked 50% of my lawn. But still, 50%. So the past year, summer came again. I mean, spring came again. I'm thinking, what should I do? Should I resoil and seed it again? What if they just come back and ruin all my backyard again? I've spent so many time and effort and money into it. But still, we think we will continue to work on the soil. So we seed the grass again, and hopefully this summer right now is still doing good, and hopefully by this summer I'll get a better lawn. You know, I want the leaders, or children workers, or even parents. Sometimes I know you may just want to give up or switch out to serve in other ministries because there are times that you prepare so well the lesson and hope to deliver a good lesson to the kids, but the kids are just all acting up that morning. Or if you may wonder if your endless laboring will bear some fruits one day. You have seen kids growing up physically. Each year they grow a lot. But you wonder if they have been growing up spiritually as well. And I would say it will take a few years at least for you to see significant spiritual growth. And if you seed and work on the soil, it will grow up. But if you did not work on it anyway, there will be no harvest. But if you seed faithfully, at least there will be some harvest. And the story of the sower reminds us about the sower, which is like our Heavenly Father, has continued to sow every season, in and out season. And that even when our life is struggling or in our faith is not doing good, our Father has not been stopped working on them. And He is the good Father. And just like the Bible said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Some fell on the rocky places. Others fell among the thorns. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. This reminds us that when we teach kids, they may respond differently because they are at different spiritual state. Some, their state is like a thorny places, or some of their rocky places. So it's important for us to know where they are and to tender and work on the soil so that they can grow to receive the word of God and allow the word of God to grow in their heart. And so what happens in the last 2 years is during my children worship time or Sunday school time, I always end with some response journal time that they can have some quiet time. They write their prayer, respond. And also during Sunday school time, we get a chance to pray with them one by one, you know, and to see what happened to them in during the week. And I would say there are many times that I got a chance to struggle together and pray together with kids who struggle in their daily lives. And I would say this is like discipleship. This is working on the soul, working on the heart, so that when the word of God is seeded in the heart, it will grow. And sometimes it's not just tendering to the spiritual needs or the daily life. Sometimes it's the attending to the physical needs. From time to time, you will get a child who is like very active or special need kids in your class. And it's more common, you know, nowadays. And so there's a boy, it's grade one, my church children ministry. And he can't sit still for 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes, we'll run around the place. So we had a really hard time with that boy because we just don't have the privilege of someone like tutoring him and marking him one by one. And he's always running around. So I pray to God and say, God, what can we do? Because it's very disturbing during children worship time or council time. And then I noticed something. I noticed that actually this boy, if he sit on hard chair or hard floor place, like the pill, within 1 minute, he'll be on the floor or like somewhere. But he will sit much longer when he sit on a softer cushion, like a softer place, a softer chair. So what I did is I grabbed a special cushion, a special seat for him. And everyone, the whole class know that this is his special seat and he has a special cushion to sit on during church and at church. And I got one for his mom or dad to try it at home because he also had problems sitting still doing homework or even eating. And that works. And we encourage and encourage him, reward him by sitting longer each time and focusing each time. And now this boy can sit much longer and he can also enjoy the worship or the teaching as well. So tendering the needs of the children is like working on the soil and tendering the soil. And if you can help to improve the soil of the heart, it will give a better environment for the seed to grow. And this is what I say, discipleship. Mark 4:26 also said, a man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or get up, the seed will sprout and grow, though he does not know how. Think about this, though he does not know how. One thing I learned from working with children is that there are many things that we do are just groundworks. It's just like planting the seed in soil. How each person will become in the future is really in the hands of the Lord. And sometimes we thought we can brag about what we have done to groom that person, like tell the kid, you know, when you're like kindergarten, this is what I teach you, you know what you behave at that. Or you just want to be proud and appreciated of what you have done to your children's life. But in reality, like in the parable of Mark, it is actually God that make the seeds to sprout and grow. And how it grows, he does not know how. And the parable does point to a fact that how much we can do is actually very limited. God is the one that do the big and important work. And actually to see the limitation of oneself, sometimes it's very hard. And we have a tendency to take glory to ourselves. Of course, we feel great if we can achieve some things. So recently, I got a lesson that I learned about how limited I am. But I thank God that our Heavenly Father, whose grace is always there for me. So two Sundays ago is Mother's Day, and my church has a Mother's Day breakfast. I'm the one in charge. So it was a breakfast before the 10 o'clock Sunday service. So I have to get up to the church really early in the morning and to prepare and to cook food and cook everything. My husband was away on a work trip, and so he will be back on that Sunday evening, really late at night. Since I live very close to my church, so usually I will head out like 15 minutes before the time. So that day, morning, I went out as usual. I wanted to start my car. But somehow, I couldn't start up my car. Graciously, I had another car at home, and my husband did not park and ride, so he left his car at home. So I just quickly grabbed the key of his car and drive his car to church and wait until I came back home to fix it. When I was at church, I tell some people about what happened in the morning, and I asked about how to jumpstart a car because I really want to fix my car when I went back home. And then I remember there's a young guy, he asked me, why won't you just wait until your husband is back tonight to like fix the car, you know? He's back tonight. And I said, no. You know, if I fixed my car and when he came back, I shared this with him, he will say, good job. And he won't blame me for making some stupid mistake that caused the car battery to be down. Probably I forgot to turn on the light, you know, turn off the light. But if he came home after a long flight in the middle of the night, and then all I tell him is the problem, I don't think that goes really well. So I have made up my mind that when I went home, I will try to fix up my car, just jumpstart a car. Shouldn't be that hard, even though I don't know how to do it before. So I went back home. The first thing that I did is try to find the jumpstart cable, you know. But I searched through the whole house. I couldn't find it. Actually, it was somewhere in the cabinet, but I just missed it. So I thought, okay, I couldn't do it. But since I have asked around some people about this, so there's a young man later in the afternoon said, oh, I can come by your house because my dad just purchased a brand new car battery charger. So I can bring it to your home and help you to jumpstart the car. So he came. And both of us never jumpstarted a car before. So the safest way is to look at the instruction. So we followed the instruction, and he got a brand new battery charger, which has a very small battery and two very short cable, positive and negative, very short, just 1 foot. And according to my car instruction, the positive battery is this end, the negative battery at this end, and so the cable is too short to put it on. So we thought, should we risk to do something else and try it our own way? Actually, there's another way to do it, so it works, but we just don't know. And so we said, we don't want to risk to make something stupid and blow up my car, right? So I thought, okay, just let it go. And again, I missed the chance to fix my car and have to wait until my husband came back at that night. So at night, really late at night, he came home and I told him this. And so he just at the car and he helped me to jumpstart the car. Now, he took from home a black thing, a black machine or something, which was placed by the basement door on the floor, just by the entrance. And he took out that, and he wanted to use that to jumpstart a car. And I thought, oh, that thing is a battery charger? I didn't know that. I know where it was, but never know that I can use it to jumpstart a car. If I knew it, I would have jumpstarted my car already. So the third time, I missed the chance of jumpstarting my car. And thankfully, he did it. My car got jumpstarted and worked. And we all went upstairs to unload things. And we entered the kitchen, and he saw a parcel was delivered into my home. I said, yeah, I received a few days ago. It was something you purchased, and I don't know what it is. But I did know it's something about car. So he opened the box, took out what's inside, and showed it to me. And guess what it is inside? A very strong power car battery charger. Four times I missed the grace and I missed my chance to jumpstart my car and fix my car. And when the fourth time I saw the battery charger, I laughed at myself, like, how come, you know? It must be an object lesson from God. How come I missed the grace over and over and over again? And then I realized one thing, that our God is like that. God knows my needs, send a lot of resources. It's just that sometimes we are just limited and weak and foolish and silly that we were so blind that we miss the grace of God. But God always, always continue to take care of us and to take care of us. And God is so gracious. And I told my husband, you know, I can have all these good gifts from you, but I'd rather have you because all I need is you. When you come back, problem solved. And when God is there, problem solved as well. So brother and sister, we live through every day by the grace of God. And our God is good. He keeps on showering his grace over us again and again. And there are many things we can do, but there are many more things we cannot do. In terms of nurturing the souls of others, it is God who caused the seed to grow, and it is God's Spirit that keeps drawing us closer and closer to him. And to those who work with children, like Awana leaders, parents, or children worship leaders, just like we need the grace of God, we also need the grace of God to help us shepherd the kids. And the children, they themselves, also need the grace of God to work in our life. And remember, God is like the farmer who have continued to sow the seed into the heart and works in our life. One day, there's a small child, and his name is Addison. He came back home from school and gave a paper to his mother. He said to his mother, "Mom, my teacher gave this paper to me and told me that only you are allowed to read it. Tell me, what does it say?" Her mom opened the letters, reading it, her eyes swelled and have tears. And then she read out the letter loud to her child. This is what it said. "Your son is a genius. This school is too small for him and doesn't have good enough teacher to train him. Please teach him yourself." And his mother just did that until she fell ill and passed away. Many years later, Addison's mom died, and Addison became one of the greatest inventors of the century. And one day, Addison was going through some of her things, her mom's things, and found a letter that his old teacher wrote to his mother that day. And so he opened it and read it, and it said, "Your son is mentally deficient. We cannot let him attend our school anymore. He is expelled." Addison became emotional reading it. Then he wrote in his diary, "Thomas Addison was a mentally deficient child whose mother turned him into a genius of a century. Thomas Addison, the one who invented light bulb and many, many inventors of the century." Brother and sister, let us rely on the grace and strength of the Lord. And may we continue to work, do the work that God has endowed upon us. And one day, we will see the fruit and also the joy of our labor. And for Awana, I want to bless all the Awana leaders, all the children ministry leaders, or even all the parents for putting the efforts and time and the heart in growing and nurturing the soul of the little ones. And I pray that God will continue to use Awana ministry for the next 25 years to bring more kids to his kingdom and to bring more fruit to his kingdom and harvest as well. So let us pray.